Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Is my cat
your
going
cat
to...
sneezing? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Shut up, bitch.
Peter, what year was the Declaration of Independence signed?
Was it 1776?
Oh, sure was. You're great at history.
Yeah, yeah. Lore boys here.
Lore boys here.
So the Declaration of Independence is foreign country history, as far as we're concerned.
A foreign country lore, you might call it.
Foreign country lore, yes. Of America.
Oh, is it an American thing?
I think so.
Well, I think technically at the time it was British.
I think it still is.
When it was written, it was British. When it was signed, it was American? How does this work?
Ooh. What came first?
The Declaration of Independence or America?
Yeah. Who's on first? The Declaration of Independence. Yeah.
And
John who?
And Nick Cage.
And Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I love that. I love National Treasure, dude.
I watched it like a month and a half ago, I want to say.
It's fucking good.
My girlfriend was like, I want to watch National Treasure. I was like...
You put a baby in that girl.
Oh, okay.
You fucking put a baby in that
Peter,
girl.
Peter, that's the point. Stop acting like I'm not trying, okay?
I know, that's true. Yeah.
It's just, it goes everywhere every time we do it.
With your fist-shaped penis.
Yeah, with my mic check fist-shaped penis.
Yeah, there you go.
And forehead-shaped hands? I don't remember how it works.
I don't remember, yeah.
I don't remember
lore
my own anatomy.
Boys here. It's a lore podcast. Most of the lore boys, at least. My name is Peter O'Donohue. Sorry for the delayed episode. It is my fault. Anybody who follows us on Twitter at the Lore Boys would know that I went to the Pornhub Halloween party, and despite the fact I got out of it with no hangover,
twenty hours later, boy was
my tummy upset.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm joined with
I'm Ethan, and sorry for that meandering intro about Nick Cage and National Treasure.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Less than a minute.
It's a spinoff from the soundcheck, which you guys can't hear.
Yeah, exactly. Because we deleted it.
Yes. Yeah.
We said some vile things.
Oh, heavens, yes.
Oh, yes, yes.
We said
yes.
Peter's cat wasn't the cutest thing on earth. Huh?
What kitty? Is she? She's still there?
She is, obviously.
Yeah,
she's still there and also the cutest
You can
thing
check her out on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so no Jamie.
What?
Jamie's...
Is he not on his way? I thought he was just coming.
No, Jamie's unavailable.
Oh.
So some people would call this episode No Dead Weight.
Some people would call this a menage a deux.
Some people would call this episode All Dead Weight.
Yeah. Which side of the Jamie coin are you on?
Yeah, exactly. The most voracious fangirls are the Jamie fangirls.
We've
learned.
There's a few things. If this is your first time listening, there's a few things you can know about this episode off the bat. It's going to be stupider. It's going to be louder. It's going to probably be less factual than an episode with Jamie.
Yeah, it's going to be probably a little bit longer.
Maybe a little bit longer, maybe not. Who knows?
This is technically a request.
Yes, technically.
Technically. It was a very convenient request. So Steven, out in Joyzy, had requested more Mass Effect. And thankfully, I have a bunch of, like, embryonic scripts kicking around. Is my cat
Your
going
cat's
to...
sneezing, sorry.
Oh, sorry. shut up, bitch.
Embryonic scripts.
Yeah, I have a bunch of, like, 2% done scripts kicking around, which I mentioned on a previous episode. One of which was... Mass Effect and the First Contact War.
Perfect.
So we're going to discuss. Thankfully, we just had an election here where our God King Justin Trudeau was just reelected.
Yes.
And to quote him, diversity is our strength.
To quote him, maybe blackface isn't so bad.
Yeah. And to quote him, why would you just leave all that oil in the ground?
Yeah.
Which is paraphrasing, technically. So basically, we're going to talk about how contact between fresh-faced new peoples has always been both good and enriching for all sides and has never, ever gone wrong.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Yeah. So that's why this is called the First Contact War.
Okay.
It's ironic.
Oh, so there's not a war is what we're saying.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
well, that's unusual. Yeah. It's an unusual thing to call it a time
all,
of peace.
It's all handshakes and signing documents from here on out, man.
Oh, that does sound hellish.
Hanging out. Yeah.
That does sound hellish. It's a bureaucratic war. I gotcha.
Oh, well, we'll get into bureaucrats later. Believe you.
Okay, good. <Yeah. laughs> You know, I love to get inside a good bureaucrat.
I do. You can get away with murder if you're in somebody's little black book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can kill yourself in prison.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which you totally did.
Which you totally do. People do that all the time. In a padded cell with no way to kill themselves, they kill themselves. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Under surveillance.
Yeah, under surveillance. Yeah. Constant 24-hour surveillance. They manage to take a long, slow, laborious route towards killing themselves. It happens all the time. All the time.
Constantly. Like erosion.
Yeah.
The glacier moved. Yeah. Accidentally crushed his head.
Yeah.
Fucking oops.
Yeah, that's it. Made a more ass, too. Nobody's talking about that.
So, the First Contact War began in 2157, which you will note is in the future.
Okay,
so
sure.
Anytime I that say was it. Or were, please allow me, because I am talking from the perspective from even further in the future.
Okay, I gotcha.
If you can follow. It was fought between humans, a race of slim ape-like creatures from the planet Earth,
okay,
and the Turians, a race of hard-shelled bird-like aliens from the planet Palavin.
Is that us? Are we the Turians?
We're Turians.
Are they named after Alan Turing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that would explain the fact that I only have one hole for waist.
Yes, no.
And also a metallic beak.
As do we all.
Yeah.
So is Garrus a Turian?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't look that bird-like.
Sexy boy Garrus.
I do see
no,
the beak.
No, they look more like crab people, honestly.
Okay.
With the mandibles and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, everything has always described them as, like, oh, bird-like with a shell. And I'm like, okay, fine. You got me.
A bird with shell. Yeah. It's like the winged Koopas from Mario.
Yeah.
Loreboy's canon, Garrus, is a winged Koopa
a
from Mario.
A winged Koopa. They're in the same universe.
Yeah, no, obviously.
After EA got a hold of them, they were just like, you gotta introduce some more popular characters.
Well, Mario was the first video game, so all of the video games are in Mario.
All derivative from Mario.
Exactly, yeah. They're all in the Mario universe.
So the First Contact War began when the Turians opened fire on a human spaceship after they had arrived through a forbidden mass relay called Relay 314. Relays, for the uninformed, are large space stations that can teleport spaceships between each other very quickly, allowing for relatively fast galactic space travel.
Yeah.
We have a previous Mass Effect episode which explains way more about this.
It's all about the relays,
yeah,
pretty
much.
Yeah,
basically, it's all about this.
So, just setting us up, 2157.
Yep.
Humans have found one of their relays. They have just found the first relay?
We will talk about the first relay that humans have found.
Okay.
The First Contact War started when humans just kind of arrived. They busted down the screen door of Relay 314, and the Turians opened fire on them immediately.
Okay, so this is post their, like, we've found other relays.
Yes.
But this is human first contact with anybody?
This is the first contact between humans and another sentient alien race.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
this is the entire episode, so maybe your questions will be answered in the future.
Oh, okay. Sure, yeah. Sure. You know what? You just go. You talk. I'll be here.
Well, why don't you just ask your questions now, and then I'll okay. just throw the script away.
I'll load them all. Why is the sky blue?
Okay, well...
Diffraction of light.
yes, and?
Light waves get diffracted by the atmosphere, and the shorter wavelengths get diffracted more, and shorter wavelengths are blue.
Oh, they're blue shifted,
mm-hmm.
Like the Half-Life game.
Not blue shifted. Blue shifted is different.
Really?
Blue shift is when something moves incredibly fast towards you. Then, because the light that's bouncing off it is getting shorter and shorter, the wavelengths are getting shorter, it appears blue.
Okay.
And it's redshifted when it's going away from you very, very fast. Because since it's leaving, the wavelengths appear longer.
That's a space thing. That fits.
Yeah, it's space. Yeah. Space.
I mean, you can... Can you hear my brain overheating? You can hear the dial-up modem.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, melting into the floor.
That's the lore of physics, and I have no idea how right it is. Because I took an AP physics class 10 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't. So, we got to ask ourselves, why was Relay 314 off limits? Why did the Turians open fire immediately when the human ship arrived? So, I don't know, but I'll tell you.
Okay, but you will tell us.
I will tell you.
Okay, because I was about to jump wildly into speculation land.
Exactly. Why did they do it, Ethan?
Yeah. I'm guessing they thought it was like some Reaper activity or something like that, which again, if you listen to our previous episode on Mass Effect, which you really should. Not because
you did.
Not because this one won't stand on its own, but just because. Please listen to us.
Just more downloads for the download god.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen to our Warhammer episodes as well.
Yeah, we got a lot of them. I think
we've done a lot of franchises.
Uh-huh.
61, I think now. Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting for Mecha Paladin to actually like request it so I can do more. Because yeah. we're trying to cover your requests now, so reach out to us on Discord or on Patreon if you want to support the show. And we're gathering requests for episodes, and we're trying to focus on those ones for now. So Mecha Paladin, hit me up on Discord and tell me.
He wants more Battle Tech?
Yeah, he wants Battle Tech.
Which I've never covered personally.
It's
all Greek to me.
Yeah.
which my mom never taught me, so yeah. It's useless. So we'll need to figure out first now how the fuck humans ended up in what is known as uncharted parts of the galaxy.
Uncharted to us.
Yeah, uncharted as far as they were concerned.
Yeah, okay. Because yes. I'm gonna assume the Turians knew.
The Humans.
It would be pretty funny if the Turians were also just lost there. Like,
yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Start a war.
Yeah,
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I don't remember that space tree. It doesn't look familiar at all. What the fuck?
We've been going in space circles, damn it.
They're spheres.
What?
They're spheres. The space circles are spheres. Because there's no gravity.
Yeah, so neither of us have studied geometry either, as you can tell.
I did, but 12 years ago.
So humans, or humanity, as they are sometimes called, first landed on an extraterrestrial object on July 20th, 1969. Now, this is a retroactive joke.
So now when you're talking in the past tense, are we back in the present past tense and not the future past tense?
So July 20th, 1969 is in current past.
Our past.
Our past.
Okay,
gotcha. Yeah. So the funny thing is, because it was July 20th, 1969, and I'm a dumb idiot who lives on the internet, I was going to be like, heh, nice. I think someone at BioWare, the people who wrote and made these games,
uh-huh.
is also a big dumb idiot.
Okay.
Because pretty much all of the dates and everything I will tell you going forward involves 69 in some capacity.
Oh, yeah.
So
my God.
And I was
did
like,
you blow the lid off this whole thing,
and
Peter?
I was just like, fuck it. I like went back and cut out jokes, and I was like,
nope.
It's just, it comes in like three or four times, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
It's like, I wrote this when we were supposed to record, so it's just like, wow, guys.
So if you're listening at home, every time you hear 69, just like clap once or, I don't know, write a letter or do something special every time Peter says 69.
Yeah, do a jumping jack.
Do one jumping jack. Do a burpee. Drink a sip of water. You know, stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Take a nap every time Peter says 69.
Pause the episode before you do that, though.
Yeah.
You'll miss something very important.
Well, no, just start it back again at the beginning next time.
That's
listen
true,
to
yeah.
it. Yeah.
So on July 20th, 1969, humans landed on the planet Earth's only moon under the direction of Space Admiral Stanley Kubrick. This part of space is called AFS-BC,
okay.
short for a film studio in Burbank, California. It's a bit long-winded, but humans love that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. 100 years later, in 2069, mm-hmm. so there's our second one
okay.
already.
Exactly 100 years later.
Exactly 100 years later, because someone was just like, wait. Wait.
It's like December 21st, 1968,
yeah.
and NASA's just sitting there, like, looking at their calendar. They're like, well, I guess nothing big planned for next year, eh?
Yeah.
And just one guy in the front's, like, sipping his coffee. Wait a second.
When is it?
Everybody fucking running around all over the Christmas holidays, just fucking scrambling to get something put together.
So they would establish the first settlement in space. This is in 2069. The Armstrong Outpost in the Shackleton crater on the moon.
Oh, cool.
Shackleton, for me, is a hilarious word.
It's not really a word. It's more of a name.
It's named after somebody who I didn't look up.
Yeah, fair.
Possibly fictional.
I don't, maybe.
Probably not, though.
That would be a weird thing to fictionalize, because yeah. I bet you most craters on the moon,
probably
especially ones
names.
Big enough to house colonies,
yeah.
are named.
Probably big names.
Yeah. one of them is called the Sea of Tranquility.
Ooh,
mm-hmm.
That's very spooky.
That's on the moon. It's on the side of the moon that always faces Earth.
That sounds like something dumb that they already put into Destiny. Because like having played so much Destiny recently, I have realized that the guys at Bungie who write that shit just love, like, college level fancy words.
Okay, yeah.
It's just like, because it's always just like the Red Legion.
And yeah,
like,
that's it.
That sounds aggressive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then like you're Guardians of the Light, and then you've got the and then whatever his name is, Xur, the Necromancer, and shit. It's like, okay,
you get a phalanx shield.
Yeah. The Galahorn, which is like a big word that sounds scary.
Yeah. For anyone listening at home who didn't know this, there's one side of the moon that always faces Earth.
Yes, it's tidally locked.
You've never seen the back of the moon.
No.
Unless from pictures from space.
Yeah.
Which exists.
Because the moon has a tramp stamp. It's very embarrassing.
Yeah, that's it.
It's got a really bad crater it got when it was young. And it's just like, oh, it's like some other planet's name.
Yeah, yeah.
Mars.
Mars, yeah. It would be Mars.
Yeah, it would be Mars. Fucking.
Or Venus, because it sounds like penis.
Or like Venus during its bicurious phase.
Okay. Yeah.
Mars is a masculine god. Mm-hmm. Venus is a lady god.
But you assume that moon is a feminine entity.
Luna is, to the best of my knowledge.
Is Luna Greek?
Luna is the...
or that's Roman.
Name of the moon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Earth and the moon are both feminine goddesses, I believe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Because no one says Father Nature. What it's just like, no, it's the hurricanes show up and you're like, dad's drunk.
Yeah. That is Gaia.
Yeah.
For sure.
So
hurricanes show up and you're like, mom's drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Mom's crying so much about dad being drunk all the time.
It's completely different. Yeah. So after they set up in the Shackleton crater in 2069, humans would eventually push further and further out into space, eventually reaching the planet Mars. And in 2148, humans found ancient alien technology and managed to reverse engineer it, which eventually led them to the mass relay near the baby bitch planet of Pluto. And they would eventually call this the Charon Relay, who is the ferryman of the River Styx.
Charon.
Yeah, C-H-A-R-O-N.
Charon.
Charon,
why you laugh?
An ancient human philosopher and poet, Chris DeBerg, insists we not pay the ferryman until he gets us to the other side.
No, not until we get a good game of poker in.
Yeah, well, it's a Spanish train.
I like my opponent here. I don't think he'll cheat.
Yeah.
He's a disreputable fellow, but you know what? I really think he's turned his act around. I think he's going to play his cards straight with me.
Yeah, exactly. God, you really should just like, yeah, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah. Like, it's great that you're good and all, but like, why are you such an idiot?
Yeah, there's a difference between good and naive, okay?
Yeah.
So the following year, in 2149, the humans activated the Charon Relay and were quickly transported to Arcturus, which is the fourth brightest star in the night sky.
Okay.
This was considered a huge fucking deal for John Grissom and his team of explorers, since Arcturus is 36 light years from Earth.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a big deal.
Yeah, and they got there, like, while they were all still alive.
In less than 36 light years, you're saying?
In under 36 light years.
Wow, okay, yeah. That is faster than you'd think was possible.
This spaceship gets very good mileage.
Yeah.
36 light years to the gallon.
Yeah.
And they were just like, what? No way.
No way.
Is this hybrid?
We didn't even stop once.
Yeah, we're driving 36 light years, kids. If you gotta pee, go now and pee a trillion times.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they found here was several more mass relays in and around the stars, in around this star, Arcturus, that allowed them to rapidly explore the galaxy. This all went very well, since most of what they explored were cold, dead rocks and gas giants. Also, sounds like my ex-wife remained funny for the entire expedition. So easy, breezy, beautiful space travel continued until 2157.
Okay.
So that's...
almost 100 years.
Almost, yeah. It's not too bad. When some humans arrived through the Forbidden Relay 314 and were immediately fired upon by Turian ships...
Here we are. Okay.
That I talked about earlier, yeah. But, whomst are the Turians, and whyst is the 314 forbidden?
I love how we're just like... We are very much doing the human thing. We're like, hey, we found this thing. Let's just fucking keep doing it.
Yeah.
Let's just do it forever.
We found a big open space door. Go.
Yeah, that's it. Let's not look in like... There's probably nothing in the immediate 10 light years around this one gateway that we got to. Let's just keep going through.
It's very heliocentric.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it's just like, oh, yeah, whatever. We left our solar system and went to a thousand other dead, cold solar systems.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Must not be a coincidence.
Nope. Maybe we are alone in the universe.
Yeah.
Up yours, long since dead Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
So unbeknownst to humans, obviously, A galactic government existed already called the Citadel, Council. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Citadel Council is the official title for the government.
The CC,
yep. Run by various alien races made up of valuable genetic material, who had all previously discovered convenient and easy to use mass relays.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know why they're made of such valuable genetic material, you can listen to our last Mass Effect episode.
Listen to our Reaper episode.
Yeah, listen to our Reaper episode. Why do they like our genes so much?
Yeah,
it ain't the boot cut. They're I'll tell
Levi's.
You that.
You don't have to wash them.
So these other races had all gotten past the whole stampede through the galaxy with reckless abandon stages of their history and are now all bureaucrats.
Oh, okay.
That's
why
I told you to be back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Citadel very much is. That's like the whole, that's one of the main points of like conflict in the Mass Effect games is
the
like
government can't
Shepard
get
being like,
done.
I'm a fucking cowboy, I'm gonna go shoot some fucking aliens. Yeah. And the Citadel just being like, actually, you have to fill out form 31F through 72G before you're allowed to murder in the name of the Citadel.
Yeah, exactly. We have a specific form that you need to get on the 300th floor.
Yeah.
You need to sign and date and bring back to us before the end of the day.
Yeah.
Declaring that you were shot at by giant beetles.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay, yeah. Fucking, yeah. Yeah, bureaucracy is technically the main villain of the Mass Effect series because the Reapers are going to show up no matter what, and they're weak to guns.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like that was a problem.
Yeah. Oh, no, you filled out the shot at by giant scarabs form. We're going to need you to go back and fill out the shot at by giant beetles form.
You can't just put a label over it. They're essentially the same thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, they're very much. They're very much not.
The fact you think that.
Yeah.
You clearly have never read the other form.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize I was dealing with such a lesser life form of intelligence.
So the Turians serve primarily as the Council's military. As they were already a disciplined and tough species.
Mm-hmm.
Their spacefaring history goes back about 15,000 years, which was compared to our history 15,000 years ago, where we had just domesticated the pointed stick.
Yeah, we were good at hitting each other with rocks, though.
Yeah.
We kind of perfected that for a while.
Yeah, we were.
I really feel like we've backslid in that department. I don't think we're as good at hitting each other in the head with rocks.
If you compared that skill at that time in history, 15,000 years ago, us V Turians,
yeah,
we'd probably be way better at
it. I think we'd win.
Yeah,
honestly, like
we're probably bitches.
And there, like, if there was 15,000 or 17,000 or 13,000 BC Olympics, intergalactic Olympics. Sure, the Turians would have won like all the space, the space games. You
but
know?
They wouldn't. But that's rock chucking.
That's it. That's every odd year they do the space games.
Yeah.
Then we do the stone games every other odd year or every even year.
Yeah, we get all the gold medals. That's just like another rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Around his neck with a vine.
Well, Peter, I have something exciting to tell you about gold.
Oh,
it's just
a
rock.
Yeah. What? So Turians are about the same height as a human, the average human. But are, I'm told by the wiki, bird-like, and have a hard shell that covers their entire body. Their shell actually contains trace amounts of a metal called thulium, atomic number 69.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
I did check a periodic table.
Do a jumping jack.
Done.
I didn't.
How's that?
I hope everyone at home did.
How's that Foley work for the jumping jack?
I'm the teacher. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, exactly.
If I get up.
You ever have a fat gym teacher? Because I had one. And I'm just like, wait a second.
I don't think I ever did. No? I had a pregnant gym teacher.
Well, that doesn't count.
Well.
That's a people in there.
Yeah, but.
It's not her fault.
No, well, is it?
Well, it's her choice, not her fault.
It was her choice. I hope it was her choice. I assume it was her choice. She seemed in a very happy and loving relationship, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mrs. Tolhurst.
Tolhurst?
Like the cookie.
Oh, my gym teacher was Mr. Phi, which was short.
And his brother's foe and fum.
Yeah, no, it was short for Feidelberg.
Okay.
Yeah, which my mom told me because she would like meet him at parent teacher night or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd always laugh about that. He's just like, it's just most kids just can't say it.
Feidelberg.
Mr.
Feidelberg, I peed in my pants.
He would play Shania Twain's Up a lot.
Up,
and
can
that would inspire children to climb the
here.
Rope.
Up,
which is
you
good.
Guys actually climbed a rope in gym class?
Yeah,
that's something that I did a lot as a kid because I had an old barn with a rope in it.
Okay, yeah,
and I enjoyed climbing that rope.
No, we had the gym ropes. I made it to the top, fuck, maybe twice ever.
I'm fucking good at climbing ropes, Peter.
I'm bad.
You should see me climb a rope. Yeah. I can fucking right to the top.
Yeah, you should see me hustle up a rope.
Yeah.
No, I was no good at it. I made it up in like fifth and sixth grade, so I was like at the end of my tenure at the elementary school.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Anyway, Turians. They got beaks.
They got a
shell. They're good warriors, not good with rocks.
Full of thulium. Mm-hmm. Love that atomic number 69. Mm-hmm. So here it is again. This was the point when I was doing my research when I was just like, okay,
something's up here.
Something's up here. Yeah.
Are these Easter eggs? Am I finding Easter eggs right now?
Am I doing this? Am I the first one to notice this?
Yeah.
The number 69 is hilarious.
Wait a second. If you assume that a 6 is an upside down person and a 9 is a right side up person.
Yeah.
Where does the head go?
Change the title. It's not about Mass Effect anymore. Yeah, no. It's about the number 69.
69 lore, yeah.
So they evolved the metal in their shells due to their planet Palavin having a cheap and shitty magnetic field. This means the surface of their planet and all of its creatures were constantly bombarded with huge amounts of solar radiation from their sun.
Okay, like the Necron in our Warhammer 40K episode.
Go back and listen to that.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier, so why not?
Yeah, exactly. So the Turians joined the Council after defeating another alien race called the Krogans. With superior military might and the use of a chemical weapon made by the Salarians called the Genophage. This is something I'll cover separately because this is huge.
The Genophage.
The Genophage specifically, yeah.
Yeah, stand in the ashes of a trillion dead souls was the Genophage that did it, wasn't
No, because that's a quote from a Prothean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind. That was the Reapers that did it.
Yeah.
We talked about it on our last episode.
Yep. Whoop! So this was a chemical weapon that rendered the Krogan mostly infertile.
Oh, that's right. That's the Genophage, yeah.
The council sent them a text shortly after that and was like, sick delayed genocide, bro. Reach.
Yeah.
And that's how they joined the council.
Okay.
Was the deployment of the Genophage.
Was the Salarians.
The Salarians made the chemical, and the Turians were the guys with the, you know, physically metally encased cajones to deploy.
To do it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, I guess we didn't say this at the top. I might have said it last time. But like, I've played 2 and 3, but I never beat either. I've never beaten a Mass Effect game.
No. I've played all 3, and I played the 10-hour demo for Andromeda. It's not as bad as I thought it'd be.
But no good. I watched my buddy playing on Twitch for a while.
Yeah.
I was like, it was an okay watch. There was, like, plenty of bugs, but whatever.
What
is QA even doing?
A buddy of mine, who I'm going to be the best man at his wedding soon, that I found out about last week.
Ooh.
He played through the entire thing. He actually owns the game. And he was just like, you know, it's pretty decent. He's like, it is buggy and fucked up. But if it wasn't called Mass Effect and just it was a space game called Andromeda, people would have hated it way less.
Yeah, way less.
Because it was just like the shittiest entry in a franchise.
Yeah, that's
opposed to just like a mediocre game.
Well, the writing was just kind of like, meh. And like the voice acting was so bad.
Oh, it's atrocious.
So bad. Yeah. Yeah. No hate on those voice actors. Like, I know voice acting, especially for something like a video game, can be like extremely difficult because like you're like, do this line, and then it's like, oh, from a completely different scene, now do this line, and you're just like back to back, like crunching out lines basically to like meet deadlines. As somebody who's like, I work in QA, and sometimes we'll like bug voiceover, and like it'll be like 6 months later and they'll have to send it back to the actor and be like, oh yeah, like you gotta do these lines again, and he'll just be like, okay, I don't remember what the fucking context of these was. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah.
But there's also the fact that it was made by like a team here in Montreal.
Yes.
And they were forced to do this by their overlord EA.
EA.
And they were not prepared.
No.
Whatsoever. If you want, you can watch What Happened by Matt McMuscles on YouTube. He actually just recently released a video about it.
Oh, cool.
And it's fantastic. Oh. He's also in Montreal.
There you go.
Yeah.
Matt McMuscles.
We're just having a big old Montreal fuckfest right now. It's going to be great.
The whole town's here.
Yeah.
For the listeners at home.
All four of us and the QA team from Mass Effect Andromeda. Yeah. It's a wild orgy. Yeah. We're all just standing stock still.
Yeah.
Like emoting at each other.
That's how Canadians have sex.
Yeah. I know.
I'm telling the listeners at home.
So another war occurred following the inclusion of the Turians into the council, called the Rachni Wars, which was between the council races and some huge evil psychic bugs.
And those guys are always bad throughout the games, right?
The Rachni, you can be like sympathetic towards one in the first game, but you probably shouldn't be.
They're generally bad.
They're big bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bugs are evil.
Yes.
If there's one thing I know about bugs, it's
they're
evil.
They're always conspiring against us.
Yeah, exactly. You ever seen a wasp?
Yeah. Evil. They breathe through their asses? Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that.
I don't
That's
think
weird.
So.
That's weird.
Yeah, creeps me out.
Mm-hmm.
Following the, like, during the Rachni Wars, the council cut off access to Rachni space through Relay 314.
Okay.
So, basically, the council set up, like, a Turian military station around 314, and they were just like, that's the bug door?
Yeah.
Make sure that shit stays closed.
Yeah. No bugs through there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody apparently asked, like, what if we can see through the windows on the spaceship and see that there's no bugs inside? And then somebody had already left, and they were like, all right, well, it's shoot to kill and shoot on sight.
Shoot on sight, no matter what.
So when the humans arrived through the relay, the Turians saw their attack on the humans as just policemen protecting Citadel space.
Uh-huh.
And considering the last thing to come through were giant warmongering beetles, this wasn't exactly unjustified.
If there's one thing I know about humans, though, is they won't be super sympathetic to these explanations.
No.
We tend to throw tantrums.
We do.
Yeah.
Especially when being fired upon in unarmed exploratory vessels.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah. I'm just using your shit without permission. Like, fuck off. Or what I assume might be your shit without permission and, like, walking into your home potentially.
To be fair, humans did find an abandoned mass relay outside of Pluto and then just kind of rode it through a bunch of other abandoned relays.
But that's what I mean. Like, maybe you gotta expect you're gonna get shot at. Like, just, like you said, knocking down people's screen doors.
Yeah, no, exactly. But, like, the other thing that the Turians could have done is, you know, like, flash the high beams a couple times to just be like, click, 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 click. Anybody home?
Yeah.
You know, just like, any giant beetles in that ship there or whatever. So the Turians just open fire immediately.
Okay.
Thankfully, one of the exploratory vessels for the humans managed to escape. However, this sparked the first contact war.
Okay.
So the first half there, you got the context. Now we're moving into chapter dose.
So we got a contact, first half, second half, a war.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first contact war. That's the theme of the episode.
Okay.
One human ship managed to escape and warn the Human Alliance, which is what they called their spacefaring government arm.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? They called it, or just the Alliance.
The Human Citadel.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Earth.
Earth, yeah.
They warned the Human Alliance that their first contact with another spacefaring race went poorly, so the Alliance sent a huge retaliatory force through the relay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hoorah, boys.
Yeah, exactly. Hoorah. Whoa.
Looks like weird metal bird monsters on the menu tonight. radiation. I'm going to eat your testicles. My testicles are actually highly irradiated.
Yes. And also mostly made of metal.
Yeah.
Oh man, it was so cold. Freeze the balls off a brass Turian. So humans then began to send out probes armed with nuclear warheads. They sent older tech out so as not to betray any of their sweet reverse engineered tech.
Okay.
So a lot of the atomic probes that were sent through these relays into Turian space were just kind of like what we would consider normal low-tech space shit with like a warhead on it.
Okay, yeah.
The Turians still managed to defeat multiple human scouting and patrolling fleets, however. And then humanity, because we didn't contact any alien races for so long, were hardcore into exploration mode.
Yeah.
So we were spread thin and not exactly well-armed.
Okay, yeah.
Because, like, it's not like we had known.
We're all scouts in Age of Empires, too. I gotcha.
Exactly, yeah. Despite this, the humans managed to put up a pretty good fight.
Okay.
One such fight involves a soldier named Thaddeus Ahern, who you actually can meet in Mass Effect 1.
Okay.
He's just like an NPC on the Citadel.
Okay.
He's like an admiral now.
Is he old?
Yeah.
Must be old.
Yeah. This doesn't... So Mass Effect 1 doesn't take place...
Much long after
too
this.
Too long after the First Contact War.
Okay. Is that kind of why Shepard and Garrus's, friendship is so... Special?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's also why, well, I mean, there's a couple other things, but that's why a lot of people are, like, racist towards humans in that first game, is because you're still the new kid on the block.
The new kid on the block, yeah. And that, I even, like, what little I played, I always got the impression of that, but yeah.
And there's more information about that to follow, so we'll get more into it here.
Mm-hmm.
So Thaddeus Ahern and his men managed to actually defend themselves successfully from a... much larger force of Turian soldiers for 5 full minutes before actually being successfully evacuated.
Okay.
Yeah, so they did a really good job. They only had like a few automated turrets with them.
Yeah.
Like that was one of those things that like that was one of those little things that the Citadel Council may have seen and been like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if these all them humans don't get wiped out, maybe we like to talk to one of them.
Yeah.
That's some pretty good army.
And
if I know something about hiring Turians, is I like me some army.
Yeah. Thaddeus just, like, drew a line in the sand in front of all the Turians, and they just, like,
stop
got
dead.
Completely hypnotized by it. They're like,
We got them.
Turning their head, turning their heads to the side, like trying to get a better look at it.
They've got like big orbital lasers that just shoot lasers that just like shoot lasers down onto planets and just draw lines in the sand.
Yeah, draw lines, and all the ships instantly turn and look at it.
So eventually, though, Turians managed to break through all of these lines. They managed to just be like, no, it's a trick.
It's a trick. Don't look at it.
One guy kicks the sand out of the way. He's just like, I've broken the conditioning.
I'm free.
I'm free.
Yeah. Rosebud.
So they managed to, like, they managed to get through the lines, and they laid space siege to the human colony planet of Shanxi. Luckily, though, humans managed to send out one distress drone before the siege was unbreakable. The siege was pretty brutal. Any ships that tried to leave the planet were immediately shot down, mm-hmm. obviously.
It's kind of what a siege is, yeah.
And the Turians would also drop orbital debris into cities.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
You sound like good guys.
Yeah, the Turians?
Uh-huh.
Thank God we get to hang out with Garrus.
It's like you said, like you had kind of said, like, they open fire right away, and like, not, like, they didn't do the flash the high beams thing.
Yeah.
You think at some point now somebody would have tried to flash some fucking high beams, right?
Yeah, or, like...
Although, I would bet it wouldn't be the humans. The humans would be like, they're fucking shooting at us, we're shooting back at them, I don't fucking care.
Well, that's it. Like, humans are so stubborn,
yeah.
And Turians, clearly...
Pretty stubborn.
Pretty stubborn.
Pretty stubborn.
Either, like, or, like, tremendously aggressive, mm-hmm. which is also a thing.
Stubborn as a goose.
Yeah. Which makes sense, because it's like a goose with a shell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the geese are stubborn.
Yeah.
And aggressive.
Hiss. If Brent Butt has anything to say about it, all they do is hiss and shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, they sent out a drone, and then the Turians were dropping orbital debris into cities. Sometimes they would do this to kill one squad of humans. So they would level city blocks with space debris to kill whatever squad of humans is. What's the official measurement of a squad?
I don't know.
Yeah.
20?
We gotta ask some white girls.
20 or 10,000? I don't know.
Who the fuck knows?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere between 20 and 10,000.
Well, say 5 and 10,000.
5 and 10,000?
Yeah.
Like 5 people's a squad?
Might be. Again, I don't know. Yeah. 10,000 might be.
It's a flexible definition.
Yeah. Especially in the future. Maybe the definition of the word squad changes in the future.
Yeah, in like 140 years.
Although you say that like they do that to kill one squad. Are there civilians in these cities? This is like a populated human city?
Shanxi is a colony planet, yeah.
Populated human planet, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The Turians figured they could wait it out and just lay siege to this planet and kill everybody.
Uh-huh.
However, they faced logistical problems as they had to start importing all of their food from other parts of space.
Okay.
Because they didn't... I guess they don't provision spaceships for sieges.
They don't have Star Trek replicators or whatever.
No, yeah. Exactly. So they also figured that the handful of ships they had seen and destroyed were the entire human navy.
Okay.
Because remember, it's their first contact with us as
well. Yeah, that's it. Right? They're like, we did it. We did it. We killed several of their ships. I'm sure that that's the entire civilization that they loaded into those ships.
So this is the funny thing. It's very presumptuous and like kind of like a weird hitch in the writing. It's very presumptuous of like a militaristic race of armored bird people to just be like, well, we got the first guy. I'm sure that was it.
I'm sure that's literally everybody.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, good job, guys.
Pack it in,
good
boys.
Job, yeah. That's it. There's donuts in the break room.
Yeah.
Let's go, yeah.
Yeah. There's donuts in the break room, and that is literally all the food we brought.
Yeah, that's it.
So
yeah.
Nobody worry.
That's it.
Nobody worry. It's cold coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what's that? Sprinkles with bird seed? Yeah, I'll take that one, man.
Yeah, sick.
Sick.
Nice,
sick.
Yeah. Is it metallic bird seed?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so they were obviously mistaken.
Yes.
Because, a second fleet of human ships.
What do you mean there's more than 500 of them?
Yeah. So the second fleet of human ships is called capital S, capital F, Second Fleet.
Oh. Or from the Turians' perspective, so fucked.
Yeah, exactly. So the second fleet arrived and ended the siege of Shanxi.
Mm-hmm.
Humans and Turians then prepared for full-scale war.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, looming interplanetary war caught the attention of who else?
The Citadel.
The egghead bureaucrats.
Yeah.
You got it. So they helped negotiate peace between the humans and the Turians.
Okay.
Yeah,
I love how like the Turians were doing this for them, and then they step in like, whoa, let me negotiate the peace for you guys. Like,
yeah, it's like we got to pull our dogs back.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was just looking at the time there.
I saw that.
Yeah.
This is good. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Good.
It's like the bureaucrats are always getting in the way. It's just like, well, we just want to wage interplanetary war.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfettered interplanetary war with an unknown enemy. Why you always got to cramp my fucking style, government?
You're the one who told me to shoot anything that comes out of there.
Shoot on sight. This is what happens. Now you're just like, well.
You don't just turn it off!
So following the peace treaty called Armistice, which was named after some sort of petty human squabble from the past.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That nobody
cares. I love how we got to name the peace treaty, though.
Well, I mean, the Turians were the aggressors.
We got one condition, okay? Yeah. We get to name the treaty.
We want another armistice.
Yeah, yeah.
In space.
Oh. A what? Or...
But, yeah, well, it's nice how all the aliens in Mass Effect all speak English.
Speak English, yeah.
Not explained at any point.
No, yeah, that's it.
There's not like a... Well, like in Hitchhiker's Guide, there's that worm that they put in your head that translates it for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of that.
Named after the Tower of Babel, of course.
Oh, I thought it was about the software.
I mean, tomato, potato, but it was written in the 70s, so I'm willing to bet it wasn't.
Maybe.
You know? I know, yeah.
Babelfish,
you know?
On 15 5.5-inch floppies.
Yeah.
You can translate 8 words.
Yeah.
So yeah, after the armistice was signed, where am I here? Right. The humans, so after this, obviously the council shows up, they sign the armistice, they negotiate peace, and then humans realize that there's way more sentient races out in the galaxy.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's so humans too, to be like, well, we know there's fucking one.
Yeah.
But that's gotta be it, you know?
Just the bird lobsters.
Yeah, yeah, just bird lobsters. Nothing else.
Nothing else. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, okay. But we fit in pretty well. In the end, actually, during the entire First Contact War, only 623 humans ended up getting killed.
That's pretty good numbers, honestly. That's better than, I gotta say, most human wars.
Yeah, exactly. We can, honestly, some places can do better in a year.
Yeah.
And the only notable engagements were, like, the attack on Shanxi and the arrival of the Second Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
There were, however, following this, more political and cultural ramifications.
Okay.
Since humanity's first contact was a violent one, they gained the reputation as a pack of violent and dumb apes.
Well, okay, they shot first, though.
They did. Yeah, it's like, man, those people who defended themselves are such savages.
Yeah.
I can't stand them.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. And meanwhile, he's eating, like, whatever, a donut covered in fucking bird seed.
Yeah, yeah. A human's hitting another human with a rock in the background.
Yeah. So this led to xenophobia against humans.
How the turntables, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But prejudice sometimes begets prejudice, and this created human xenophobes and the creation of multiple pro-human groups like Terra Firma and later Cerberus.
I mean, this is very... This is the most human thing of the whole episode.
Yeah.
Just being like, yeah, you know what? You guys have opinions about us? Well, we're not going to work to fix them. Yeah. We hate you.
We got opinions about you.
Fuck off.
How about that?
Give us a room in your fucking house and fuck off, okay?
The Turians were ordered to pay heavy reparations to the humans after the war as well.
Okay.
So they were just like, pay their insurance. What's your deductible on
that's it. Yeah. What's your deductible on 560 human lives?
623.
623
yeah.
Human lives.
$200. Done.
200
credits. Yeah. And at this point, of course, credits are fucking worthless to humans because we're not part of the Citadel.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So it's just like, well, here's Monopoly money.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
It's all different colors. What is this, Canada?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's garbage.
Well, this is Peter losing his place in the episode, everybody.
Yeah, it's because I was moving my hands around and gesturing and shit, my screen rotated, then Google Docs moved all my words.
Right back to start.
Yeah.
Do not collect $200.
No, exactly. Yeah. Of Monopoly money, which was our last joke.
Yes.
So if you need to edit that, you just cut it right back to this.
I'm glad Peter explained all this, and I'm glad Peter forgot that he said he was going to edit this episode.
I will. Don't worry about it.
I guess if you at home are listening to this episode and don't like that pause, you can edit it out as well.
Yeah, you can if
you
want.
But you cannot redistribute it. We do not give you the rights to do that.
We do not do that. No. Patent pending, patent
Unless
pending.
You redistribute it to us.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then we'll redistribute your redistribution.
One of the ramifications of the human retaliation, however, was that maybe we lost track of some of our nuclear-armed unmanned probes.
Okay, again, very human.
Yeah.
I do like that the humans in Mass Effect are very human humans.
Yeah, you know? It's just like, oh, and... But because the Citadel saw our fighting prowess as very good and very useful. Where the locations of any of these misplaced nukes are is actually a council secret.
Okay.
So they're going to keep... They were just like, look, guys, sorry, we're going to pay you reparations. We'll find and hide your nukes. we'll, you know, we'll get launder all your dirty money.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Good things that governments do, right?
Yeah. It was because they considered it to be bad optics after, like, signing a peace deal with the humans.
Okay.
Yeah. They were just like, anyway, thanks for the armistice. It's like the following day, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for the armistice. You know, I'm glad you're on the council now.
No problem.
Real good. Yeah, cool.
Happy to sign.
And just like, yeah, man, I mean, we just like, I guess the one thing is like, we lost all these nukes.
Oh, did you?
Shit.
Oh, that's so... Oh, have I seen nukes? Have I seen any nukes lying around? No.
Specifically in Turian space that you have racial tensions with?
Yeah, no. You know, it's funny. I thought that I had, but now that I think about it, it's a funny-shaped bush. Space bush, of course.
Yeah,
it was a funny-shaped space bush, and definitely not nukes. So no, I haven't seen any nukes around here.
Yeah, like, it's too bad, because, I mean, like, we'd probably, like, really, like, take those back at some point now that there's, like, this piece.
Oh, yeah, no. If they show up, like, we'll let you guys know, but... But, you know, like, just, yeah, what are the odds? What are the odds you'd find nukes, like, just floating around
here? Space
anywhere,
is so big.
Space is huge,
like,
man.
Like, the biggest,
man. Oh, you guys are new here. You guys are new to space?
Space real big.
New to space? Yeah, it's big. It's the first thing you learn when you get here is it's really big.
Yeah, we've been here for 15,000 years. We know it's big.
Yeah, we know it's big.
Don't worry about it. We know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to go take care of something else.
Yeah.
Enjoy the party.
I got a timer to go check on.
Yeah. Do you think they have, like an after armistice party? Where everybody is very awkwardly talking to each other.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, what do you do? I'm a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, my best friend got killed by a fighter pilot.
Yeah, cool. I was an explorer. I was actually a geologist.
Yeah.
I was on a civilian ship that got blown up, but I managed to escape.
Oh, I shot a civilian ship.
That's cool.
I wonder if it was yours.
I wonder if it was mine.
Wow. Yeah. Small galaxy, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
How small? Like. Small enough that you could find nukes in
it? No, it's big. It's actually pretty big.
Sorry, I couldn't keep going there. This is the shit that Jamie doesn't let us do.
Yeah.
that Dad doesn't let us do yeah. scenes. right, so there was that.
Where were you, Peter?
I didn't rotate my phone that time.
No, not that time.
Yeah. So the First Contact War also demonstrated humanity's extraordinary military capabilities, which, like we said, drew the interest of the Council. Commander Shepard, the main character, man or woman, from the first Mass Effect mm-hmm. and Trilogy game, became actually the Council's first human specter. And this was a big deal.
Okay.
Right? Because you've got... One, were the new kids on the block.
Yeah.
No other race has become a specter this quickly.
Okay.
They have to prove themselves even harder. But humans, obviously, I mean, I guess it's a game made by humans where that's also the bias the thing. But yeah, like the first human specter being this quick after the humans were on the Citadel was a huge deal. Probably a political move. Let's not fucking miss words here. Right? Yeah. However, Turians and humans even tried... So Turians and humans even tried to squash their beef by collabing on a sweet high-tech spaceship called the SSV Normandy.
Okay.
Right?
I recognize the name.
It's a ship you get in Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So that's a collab between Turian and human engineers.
Oh, cool.
Whether or not this was by choice or not, or whether the Council just, like, locked a bunch of engineers from both races in a room with, like, a disassembled spaceship and some IKEA tools.
Just, like, a room full of Lego and just, like...
Make it happen.
Yeah, they're mad at each other at first, but then they all get distracted by the Lego.
Exactly. You guys aren't allowed to come out of this room until you can fly out.
Yeah.
And no one's racist anymore.
Yeah, that's it. It's just... It's a room, a locked room, but there's no ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. It's an open concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, open concept shipyard.
Yeah, yeah.
With just one locked door.
Yeah.
With, like, one key.
Yeah. And the technology for ladders has long been forgotten because they're all spacefaring civilizations, so why would you need a ladder?
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No ladders in space.
You just, like, hover.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point.
Yeah.
Gravity boots, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was it. So they build the Normandy together. And then finally, the villain from Mass Effect 1, Saren, still retained a deep hatred towards humans due to the fact that his brother was killed during the First Contact War.
Okay.
And this would lead into his kind of defection from the Council and why he was so open to being manipulated by the Reapers.
Okay.
Is because humans were the new kids on the block. They were making a big name for themselves, swinging their dicks around. So the Reapers had a vested interest in harvesting their genetic material and yes. making a human Reaper.
Okay.
Saren was a ready and willing racist.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
So there you go.
That would do it.
Yeah.
You find fertile ground for fanatics and yeah. Racists.
Bim, bam, boom.
Yeah.
You've got it.
Yeah.
Toss that shit in the space oven for one game.
You get a game.
And you get a trilogy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was thinking that we'd run a little bit long, but that's the first contact war.
Are the nukes ever found in the trilogy? Or, like, I know you said it's a council secret, but is it ever revealed?
Not in the games.
Because my first thought was the Cerberus Assembly. Like,
I don't recall, no. Cerberus wouldn't care. I don't remember any side quests in Mass Effect 2 or 3, because Cerberus is only in a side quest in Mass Effect 1, where they have a moon base where the AI goes crazy.
Okay.
And then in Mass Effect 2, obviously you're working with Cerberus, and then you find out they're kind of evil. And then in Mass Effect 3, they're one of the actually, like, boots on the ground enemies or Cerberus soldiers.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're very pro-human, so the idea that they would go find and, like, clean up nukes out of Turian space seems pretty unlikely, and I don't recall any, like, bomb defusal missions in any of those games. But
yeah,
I
was just thinking, like, nukes are a nice thing for, like,
yeah.
a proto-military faction to have,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying... I have no information on these nukes.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Space is big. I couldn't find these nukes if I tried.
Yeah. Big enough to hide nukes in.
Me? Dumb idiot like me? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Big dumb idiot like me, though, has been Peter O'Donohue. And you can find me at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter or at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram.
Big dumb idiot like me, yes, and, is Ethan. Been good episode, Pete. Fun.
Thank you.
Good time. You can find me at Ethan the Deadman on Twitter. Anybody who likes the show, wants to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes. Reach out to us on Twitter or on our Discord or on Facebook.
Or loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. That's how this episode got made.
I know it's Friday, late episode for us. Thanks for waiting. We've been kind of sick and busy and all these other things. We are planning on... We're going to release next week, and we're going to record on Sunday, and we're going to stream at twitch.tv/theloreboys.
Yes.
So tune in there on Sunday. Time to be determined, but check our Twitter.
That's going to be... So if you're listening to this like way in the future, Sunday is going to be November 10th, 2019.
Yeah, and we're likely to stream also the following weekend.
For Extra Life.
We're probably going to be doing our charity stream finally a couple weeks late, but we do want to do it. We want to make sure... we raise some money for the kids, so check us out if you're listening concurrently. Check us out the next couple weekends. If you're listening to us in the future, well, we're already on primetime TV.
Maybe
so you
dead.
Don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
We're dead and also on primetime TV because working in primetime TV really kills you and your soul. Anybody who wants to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys.
Thank you everybody who's already subscribed, actually.
Thank you everybody who's you're already wonderful. Subscribed. Yeah, you guys
either wonderful or rich. I don't
you
know.
You guys are beautiful and lovely and not rich. Just very supportive, and it means a lot to us. We're actually, you know, with your guys' help, we're getting to a point where, like, hey, maybe we can cover the actual cost of uploading these episodes, you know, pretty soon. We're not quite there yet, but
like, we're like a buck shy of covering the cost of
we're pretty close,
actually.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
it. We have some other costs associated with the show, but that's not important. What's important is that you guys know that we have another service called Loreboys Prime, where we offer you guys a chance to support us a little more intimately. So if you dox Peter, find out where he lives, come to his home, leave an unmarked envelope underneath his door with any denomination of money in it, we will give you the opportunity of a lifetime where we have a space bush that we need somebody to guard. Don't look behind the space bush. There's nothing there. There's no point in looking there. The way space works is that any way you look at a bush, it always looks the same.
So the bush always faces the Earth. It's tidally locked.
Exactly. So there's no reason to look at any other side of it because it's tidally locked to you. It's guard. So, yeah, we need somebody to watch it, and we'll give you that opportunity if you leave an unmarked envelope full of cash underneath Peter's door after tracking him down and finding him.
Yes, please do.
And I guess that would constitute a Loreboys... Mass Effect.
Out.
Out.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.